Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise. You guys are in the right place for comedy. Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. We've got an incredible lineup for you. Now, without further ado, let's bring up our creator and host of Story Smash. Putting it together for Christine Blackburn.
Blackburn, you guys have picked an amazing night to be here. By round of applause, who has never been to Story Smash? What is happening? Where have you been? This is our 23rd show in a row, and we're so excited to be here. We're going to get started right away and reveal the Wheel of Stories. Yay! There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel. If the contestant lands on the space that says free, then they can choose any one of those 12 topics. There's also 3 spaces on the wheel that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, well, that's when you guys have the opportunity to shout out any story topics you'd like to hear. And one of our expert judges will choose one of them for the contestant's topic, yes?
Yeah.
And it always happens, so start thinking of story topics you might want to hear. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, are you excited to be here? You ready for some true stories?
Woo!
Let's get started right away and bring on our first expert judge. Our first judge is an actor, a voiceover artist, and a radio legend. Now, you've heard his voice on F is for Family, King of the Hill, Futurama, Rick and Morty, and Team America World Police, and you've seen him as an actor on Modern Family, New Girl, Marin, Teachers, Napoleon Dynamite, and Drunk History. And his radio show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, has been going strong for over 25 years. He's an amazing man and a fantastic talent. Put your hands together for the one and only Phil Hendry! Yeah! Stage right now is a comedian, a writer, and an actress. Her film credits include Charlie Wilson's War, White Oleander, and The Aristocrats. Plus, she's appeared on dozens of television shows, including, again, Modern Family, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Pretty Little Liars, NCIS Los Angeles, Mad Men, and as a reoccurring character on I'm Dying Up Here. Please welcome the fabulous Kathy Ladman. You guys, is the Emmy Award television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family, which is coming back for its 11th and final season this fall. He has a book out right now that I have in my left hand. It's all about his chronicles with his Twitter war with President Donald Trump. Yeah. He is the Simon Cowell of Story Smash, and he's here right now, Danny Silker.
Yeah.
Amazing night. As you know, we have 5 contestants that are coming up to play. The first round, you guys, they're going to be telling a true 1-minute story.
Yeah. By the way, a new sheet.
There's a new judge's score sheet, ladies and gentlemen. Come on!
That's amazing.
Yeah. Every month we try to kick it up a notch. You know this, Danny.
No, this is great.
And now with this judge's score sheet, you'll be able to go back from the first story to the second story, maybe make references.
That will be an extension.
Did you say there are 5 people coming up?
5 people are coming up.
4 here.
4 and then an audience member.
Oh.
And so that is very exciting.
We're learning.
Yes.
Can I just make a name up right now for him?
You can do that if you want to do that.
Okay.
If the contestant goes over their time, they're going to hear this. Yeah, that's bad.
I hear that.
Yeah, that's bad. That means
I get another sound effect if I hear that every night.
Their story is over, and we'll go right to you guys for your opinions, okay?
Got it.
This is the second round, a true 2-minute story.
Twice as good.
Twice as fun, and then you guys have the very difficult task of choosing 2 storytellers to go on to the third round and tell the true 3-minute story.
Oh, God, I hate judging.
You do?
I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah.
I was at an Al-Anon meeting this morning.
Okay, Danny can take care of that for all of us.
I'm actually judging you right now.
I feel it.
All right, you guys, well, let's just get started right away. The names are going to be called randomly. And so let's just start. Get started right away. The first person coming to the stage, you guys, she is an actress and a stand-up comedian. She's also a podcast host or choreographer and a plyo jam dance fitness instructor. What does that mean, plyo jam? I hope you find out. She can currently be seen in the reoccurring role of Bethany on the Amazon series Altered Reality and also on her fabulous podcast, What's Your Jersey? You guys, put your hands together for the fabulous Jacqueline Marfucci. Yeah. Let's
days have you spent?
Oh, my God.
Vacation.
Fun. Hi guys. Hey, if you can't smell my spray tan, I'm from Jersey. It's fine. I love it. My boyfriend's also from Jersey, and for some reason we're obsessed with New Orleans, maybe because we're drunks, who knows. And we go to New Orleans every year, and we go on Valentine's Day. Not a good day for me. We'll hear about that later. And I for some reason really love heavy Italian food and decided that it would be a good idea for our Valentine's Day dinner to have a block of lasagna, right? Right. Just a block of heavy lasagna, you know, because it goes down smooth. And we're walking back to the hotel. All of a sudden, there's gurgling happening. We get up to the room. I'm like, okay, babe, I'm just going to change. Why don't you just wait for me downstairs? He's like, no, I'll wait for you here. And again, I'm like, no, go downstairs. And he's like, no, I'm a good boyfriend. And I was like, get the fuck out of here! And that was Valentine's Day. I shit my pants. Jacqueline Marfucci, that was a crazy story. Phil Hendry, what'd you think of that?
The best for the last, shit her pants. That's the climax. Well, it's the climax for everyone's day, but she made it entertaining. Actually, it's always entertaining, isn't it? I'm done.
Kathy Ratman.
I related to that. I actually had a boyfriend one time put on headphones and listen to music. In a similar situation.
Wait, because you were in the bathroom?
I just said that. What?
You were in the bathroom.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's quiet here. It's very quiet. All of a sudden, people are really shy.
Well, this is the weirdest thing, because I too am from Jersey.
Yeah,
that's
true.
And I am currently shitting my pants.
So
no, I mean, I feel like this is weird. Great story. I love the M. Night Shyamalan, Shittalon. M. Night Shyamalan's Unflushable, we'll call it. Yeah, it was really great. Fantastic.
All right, Jacqueline Marfucci, there you go. You see that? That's how we play the game. It's just that simple. Right?
Yeah. And I like that the last shit ceiling has been broken tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
I got a feeling everyone's title for this is shit or pants.
Not everybody's going to do that.
Not everybody's going to do that, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people have that story.
Okay.
Alright, you guys, I just pulled the next name, and coming to the stage right now is a very, very talented comedian and actress. She's also a faculty member in the USC School of Dramatic Arts. You have seen her, and you know she has an award-winning improvised talk show called Relationship.
Oh, wow. There you go.
That's the name of the show, Relationship. You've seen her on Seinfeld, The Middle, and on Comedy Central. Please put your hands together for the very talented Jude Shelton.
Yeah!
All right. Have a look at you.
Spin that wheel.
The audience has to get together on that spin that wheel, you know, Phil?
What do they say?
They're all scattered all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Is where things get so interesting.
Fascinating.
It lands on audience because you just don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. But I'll say this, it's very, very hard. So please, be kind. What story topics would you like to hear?
Funerals.
Breakups.
Funerals? Breakup's already on the wheel.
Road trip.
Crafting?
Changing diapers.
Road trip? High school.
Hospital.
You seem to light up at changing diapers. I mean, I don't like people to influence that at all. But I mean,
I would go with changing diapers.
I would go with changing diapers.
We're gonna keep with
and
the
then I would like you to change one.
Because he needs big round of applause, you guys. Jude Shelton. Changing diapers. Oh my God.
Okay, I went. Long ago, I'm going to be 52, and long ago when we would do dates, we would do it over a phone. You know, you'd look in the paper, you'd find a little box with a guy that seemed interesting, and then you'd make a phone call. So I set up a phone call with this guy. We went to the movies or something. He was very disappointed in the fact that I'm overweight, and that was painful. Also, I was wearing polyester, which made me very hot. I was just like a giant baked potato. So I went on this date with him, And we were both sort of just suffering together. But then we got in the car to drive back. We were suffering. It was so painful. We drove back, and he wanted to smooch me. And I was like, well, I guess. I mean, it was back in the day when I thought I owe it to him. And the thing is, when he moved over, I realized that he was wearing diapers. And but guess what? Pampers can't be choosers.
Oh! 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 Two children. Well, that was a great story.
And it had its own built-in punchline.
Yes.
How many stories can do that?
Yeah, well, she just pulled that right out of her pants.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but about 30 seconds in, did you think they were going to hit a baby? Where were diapers going to come in?
I really
wanted to know.
I had
no idea that he was going to be the one wearing the diapers.
Right. Yeah, Phil Hendry.
Well, that's a grand slam. That's Albert Pujol's, you know, just like bang, that's out of the park before I in my seat, before I get my popcorn. In the seats, in the park. 4-0, grand slam, and the Cardinals still come back to no, not necessarily. That was amazing.
Changing diapers.
Yeah.
Right out of the ballpark. Kathy?
Oh, I thought it was a wonderful story. And really, who were you disappointed when that happened? Weren't you disappointed?
You know what? I wasn't allowed to have feelings.
It was back in those days.
Yes, it was.
I miss the 80s.
Jude Shelton, you guys, put your hands together. Jude Shelton. All right. That was a terrific story. I love that. Wow. Right out of the ballpark. Okay, you guys, coming to the stage right now is, here we go. This contestant has been a working actor for almost 30 years. He has over 80 appearances in film and television, and he just finished his very first feature film that he wrote and directed called Life Support, and it will be opening at the end of this summer at a theater near you. He is the reigning champ of Story Smash, and he's here right now. Put your hands together for Larry Clark.
Yay.
Woo!
Woo.
Yeah. Tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
There you go.
Here we go.
This is a guy who's been here before. You can tell. Look at that confidence. Look at that stature. He's just taking the stage. This is where he addresses the audience. And
this is all in his wheelhouse.
Birthdays.
How good do you feel now, Larry? Huh?
Larry's not
happy.
Does it start when I pick up the mic? Here we go. This is my 21st birthday. I got really drunk with my buddies down in Towson, Maryland.
All right.
Went around 1 o'clock at night to get more booze. I was drunk out of my mind. Back then, it was a big deal. You turned 21.
I guess maybe it still is.
And there was no one in the bar, and I was screaming. I was like, where is everybody? I know you're not closed. And I was like, I want to buy cigarettes. What I didn't realize is that the place was being held up. They were all in the back being held up, and I'm going, hey, where is everybody? What's going on? Finally, I see a head like disappear in the back, and I go, hey, here's somebody back there. Maybe they're counting money or something, close it up. I went, hey, and I walked in, and I got sober in an instant. Because the guy turned the gun, and I took off, and I ran, and I went, ah! And he didn't shoot. I got away with it, but I lost $20. I dropped it on the floor, and I asked for it later. But
Larry Clark, there you go. Great story. Stay right here. Wow, that's a memorable birthday, you know? Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, I was saying, it's funny how robbery is essentially funny, you know, when Kurt almost shot. But I loved it, man. I loved the fact right from the moment he got into the restaurant or bar, wherever you were, that you knew there was something wrong and yet you were still, like, kind of loose.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Staying loose. The alcohol had a lot to do with it, but nonetheless, you know, I give that a very high grade, a very high
Thank
score.
You.
A very high score. How about that?
Big time score.
Okay, Kathy Lavin.
That was a great story, Larry. But I'm surprised that you actually thought for a moment, like, that what were you going to tell about birthdays? Is there a birthday that you had that is more memorable than that? I don't understand.
I got a million stories.
You do? Okay. All right.
I mean, that's
right.
Just one of them.
It was a great story, and I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you're here to tell us the story.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Danny?
So I didn't like the story. No, I'm kidding. It was an amazing story. You were fantastic. It had that great... I didn't think it was going there. I thought when you walk in, no one's at the store. I didn't expect to be got shot. For me, I have to take off points because... Your reaction to actual danger, I believe, was bah! Which was a little bit of a strange noise to make.
Yes.
But no, you were it was fantastic.
Another great story. Larry Clark, guys, let him hear.
So I
left
$20, bro.
$20. Somebody pay him back. All right, you guys, on the stage right now for a true 1 minute story is our audience member. Oh, that's very exciting. Jim Coughlin, go ahead and hand Danny Zucker the audience fan. And who's playing Story Smash tonight?
I'll tell you. This is really funny after you just said that. I think you know this guy. His name is Tom Alpert.
I know him. All right. Come on up to the stage, Tom Alpert. Now, you guys, this is very, very hard. Tell him what you do.
Well. I know. Let's go.
It's a rookie mistake. You tell everyone not to spin the wheel too hard. It's a rookie mistake. Just spin it for 1 minute.
Hey, thanks everybody for coming.
Drive safely.
Well, I thought a door was stopping, but then
Oh, nice.
What do you
think? He landed on three, so he can choose any of the 12 topics.
Hey guys, it's my first time up here. So I think I'm going to pick.
Fucking bored.
Okay. After you, Danny. I'm going to do mom. So,
mom?
Yes. Mom or mother? Isn't there something about mom?
Yeah,
there?
It is. Yeah.
Mom, there it is.
Yeah, go.
And go.
Oh, wait a minute. Do I get a minute to think? Or?
No.
Okay, so my mom is a classic New York Jewish mother. And for any of those who are Jewish or from New York, you know what I'm talking about. So my mom and I, we have this very complex relationship, push-pull, love-hate, whatever. So ever since I can remember, I've always been trying to get away from my mom. So when I was 5 years old, I was going into first grade, and my mom wanted to walk me in there. But me being the independent idiot that I am, I said, no, I can go to my own class. So I go in there, and I go into, I'm supposed to be first grade, I'm there all day. My mom, at the end, 3 o'clock, comes pick me up, I'm crying. I'm like, Mom, I'm done with school. That's it. I'm not going back. She's like, what are you talking about? I go, they were laughing at me. I didn't understand what was going on. She says, no one's going to do that to my son. She goes back. Well, we go talk to the principal, and she says, what's going on here? My son was supposed to be in Mrs. Goldstein's class. And they said, Mrs. Goldstein's in first grade. He was in the fourth grade class.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Tom Alpert.
Wow.
Yeah.
Story. Wow. It had a beginning and a middle and an end. Phil Hendry.
Let me tell you what, this is a new form of comedy we've seen tonight. This is an entirely new thing.
What's that, the unfunny?
No, it's not. It was funny. It was the process of telling the story of it, you were in panic, you were in fear, you were frightened, you were about to die. It was a riot. It was just, there you go.
All right, Danny Zucker.
I have a quick story.
Okay, great.
Time?
Yeah, of course.
I always do this one time as well. I liked your story a lot, Tom. This is my story about walking into the wrong room. I was... early show, one of the first shows I was doing, it was like this little HBO show, and you never saw it, and I was late, and it was like one of my first writing jobs. And so if I walked into the building this way, and I go to the left, I go into this one office, and there's a table there, and I sit down. And so I couldn't find parking, and I came in the other way, but I'm so freaked out, do the same thing, head down, walk into another room like this, and I look up, and all of a sudden, Keanu Reeves is right to my right and says, have a seat, dude. And it was the table read for Point Break.
Yes.
That's really true. True story. Anyway, that's my story.
That's awesome. Kathy Ladman, you're moving on.
Yeah,
moving
I'm moving on. Okay, cool.
That was a great story. I liked how everybody in the story was Jewish. I appreciate
that. I thought you were really Jewish.
And I my mother actually did one better. My mother actually had me change schools. Not only classrooms, but that's how overbearing my mother was. And I hope you've come through life and have recovered from having a Jewish mother.
Doesn't look like it.
I'm depressed and divorced.
All right, well, that's normal. You're right on track then. Okay, it was a great job.
All right, Tom Albert, let him hear it, you guys. Tom Albert. All right, our final contestant coming up for a true 1 minute story. I know who it's going to be. He's the last person on the sheet. This guy is very, very talented. He's an award-winning filmmaker, writer, actor, and comedian. You've seen him in TV and film roles, including Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Better Off Ted, and My Name is Earl. He also had a regular role as Boring Larry on the USA Network show Bench. Put your hands together for the one and only Peter Sprite. All right. Tell him what to do.
Before I spin, I should just mention when my name was called, I peed a little. I don't like this.
You got some water to your left, Phil. If you want water, Kathy, water?
I drink tequila, but I'm good. Right.
Drunk tank.
Perfect. When I was 15, oh, it's his turn.
Go ahead. Drunk tank. So my drinking career lasted from sophomore year in high school to sophomore year in college. It was like bookends of idiocy. It ended one night when Jimbo and Lair and me went to a Sigma Chi kegger. And we got in because they wanted him to pledge, because if your name's Jimbo, you're destined to end up in a frat. And that was the night I discovered beer bongs. And what I also discovered is a beer bong can impair one's judgment, because a little later that night, we found ourselves in a back room where the backup keg was, and we thought, you know how when you're high, you think you got a brilliant idea, and the next day it's not so brilliant? That was us. We decided it'd be great if we stole that keg from the Sigma Chi house. Did I mention there were 18 inches of snow on the ground in Chicago?
Peter Sprite!
Peter!
Woo! All right! Phil Hendrick.
Peter, you're an actor.
That's right.
Which means that you need to know your material. In other words, what I'm saying is you're brilliant. You're wonderful. I was waiting for the end of that story, and some asshole threw that glass. I didn't get a chance to hear the end of it, but...
What happened?
Well,
never mind. So
long story short is we dragged the keg out from the Sigma Chi house, and we made an 18-inch deep keg-shaped trail in the snow. Leading the Sigma Chi brother.
And you were arrested for that, because it says drunk tank.
Much worse.
Kevin Ladman.
To me, a keg is a tank of drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Peter, I love the story, and also you don't look like somebody who would really want to drink a lot. You really, I'm surprised that your drinking days lasted as long as they did. But I thought your story was great, and I really wanted to hear the end, and thank you for telling us the end, but I wish you could have gotten the end in before that stupid glass thing happened.
Danny, you look so confused. What's going on?
No, I'm feeling for him. You know, one of my daughters she had to have an accommodation when she took the SATs to get just a little bit longer time. You know, she's an Asperger. And I think we should do the same thing for slow talkers here. I felt that if we could appeal to the board, and we could just get a doctor's note to say, hey, this is how fast I talk, we'd give you $1.30.
I brought an IEP with
me. Yeah, yes, that's exactly. We need an IEP. You know what we're talking about, my daughter. you won my heart with IEP. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Anything else, Phil?
Yeah, I would say that pushed you over the top.
Yeah.
All right. Peter Sprite, let it hear. Peter Sprite. Okay, you guys, this is very exciting. We're moving on to the second round. Everybody comes on back up here and tells a true 2-minute story. It's double the fun. By the way, did I mention you with the winner wins tonight? Did I tell you? My homemade chocolate chip cookies? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So this is a serious game.
They're delicious.
And by the way, who called out that last audience suggestion of diaper pants? Or what was that? Who
changing
called
that diapers.
Out? You get this pen, by the way. We've now got merch here at Story Smash. And you get yourself a free pen. Enjoy that. Coming to the stage right now for a true
really
2-minute story. Put your hands together for the one and only Peter Sprite. Come on now, Peter. All right, you guys, tell them what to do.
Yeah.
I was just talking to someone. What happened?
are we doing now?
We're going to spin it again. It's a 2-minute story.
Uh-oh. Audience, front tank? All right, front tank, he's got to spin again. Spin it again, guys,
never
spin.
Never finished the story, so it's perfect.
All right, all right. I call that a spin. Has landed on audience, and that means that we throw it out to you guys and your story suggestions. What would you guys
drunk
like to hear? Commercials.
Carney fair.
Dating disasters. Pigs.
Losing his virginity.
Losing your virginity.
Yeah.
Depression.
Losing his virginity. Yeah.
You guys, it's your choice.
Well, since two guys chose losing his virginity, I guess we have to stay away from it? No.
Virginity? All right, 2 minutes. Right. 2 minutes. Story. You guys, this is not easy. Give him a big round of applause. Take it away.
Right, first of all, who suggested that? Yeah. How do you know? I've lost that. That's very presumptuous of you.
It's the glasses.
He chose to sit in the front. Right? So, I'm going to tell you the story about when I came very close. Because that's probably more entertaining than the other one. In my early 20s, I worked on this boat. It was called the Mississippi Queen. It was a paddle wheel steamboat. And we did cruises, very slow cruises, from New Orleans to St. Paul, Minnesota, and then back to New Orleans. And a cruise would take about 6 weeks, and there were 150 crew members on the boat to service the 400, and I don't mean to say this that way, get your mind out of the gutter, passengers. But the crew members called this boat the hookup boat, because if one person had chlamydia on the crew at the beginning of a 6-week run, 150 had it by the end of the 6-week run. But I was kind of the round peg in the square hole, because I wasn't like a hookup kind of person back then. I know I've changed. Anyway, there was this one girl on the boat, Autumn de Fablasio, I think her name was. She dressed like Madonna, not like from the old master's artist Madonna, like Desperately Seeking Susan Madonna. She had like a short skirt, a half shirt that was like fishnet, and a black bra and fingerless gloves. Oh, I fucked myself again. All right, I give up.
And since you said it was unsuccessful, I fucked myself again. Yes. Probably is the end of that story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kathy, what else?
And you stopped drinking when you were sophomore. I thought it was a great story. I would love to hear what that woman did, Autumn de Blasio or whatever, yeah. Bill de Blasio or something.
Nice. Well, I got to go up to New Orleans to St. Paul with chlamydia. Come on.
Yeah.
That's high ticket.
Big
kind of stuff
right there, man.
Yeah, it sounds like a country song.
It's a mountain song.
If
you
want to sing song, I'm coming to you. Danny, anything else?
No, I mean, I know the ending.
No, you don't.
Well, you didn't. What happened? You didn't get laid, but what happened?
Well, I had 2 minutes and I used my time. So
no, just tell us.
Okay. So this is what happened. One night.
Yeah.
I was a one-stripe officer, because I was the dining room captain. Uh-huh. I had my own cabin in the quarters. April had a roommate because she was a cocktail waitress. One night she knocked. Do you guys really want to hear this?
Yes!
She knocked on my cabin and she said, can I crash with you? My roommate locked the door. And I was like, I felt sorry for her. Her roommate locked the door. So I decided I'd let her sleep in my cabin. And so I was already in my gym jams. And I got in my bed and moved all the way to one side so there'd be enough room for her. And she took off her fishnet half shirt and her other stuff, clothes, and put them in a very small pile on the floor. And then she had no clothes on. And she got into bed with me, and I was like, okay, she's probably hot, it's a good level, so, all right, I understand, so, and then, but then she, like, pushed right up against me, and I was like, she probably overestimated how hot she was, and now she's cold, so I told her, Autumn, I've got an extra pair of gym jams, if you want.
And then you masturbate.
And that
right?
was the start of nothing happening.
Wow. Peter Spray, let him hear it. Peter Spray.
In the future, just start the story where you did that.
Yeah. That would be a good beginning right there. Peter Spray, come on, you guys.
Here's
Peter. Thanks for playing the game. Come to the stage right now for a true 2-minute story is our audience member. Big round of applause for Tom Alper.
Woo!
Tell him what to do, you guys.
Alright,
here it goes.
Okay. Audience. Guarantee this is a breakup.
Audience. Vacation.
How much time do we have this one, Jim?
Two minutes? Yep.
So when does it start?
Right now.
Oh, okay. So I hate fucking vacations. I'm going to tell you why. Because I grew up in a family where our parents hated each other. My brother's out there, Steve, somewhere. He could validate that. So once a year, we lived in New York. We would go to Florida for a vacation. And we'd take this drive out there. And the whole way there, it was fighting there, back. And the last vacation we took, we came back and our dad said, we're getting a divorce. So after that, I said, fuck it, I'm not doing vacations. But then, 30 years later, I'm going through my midlife crisis, my second one, only two, and I start dating this woman who's 20 years younger than me. And I come up with this idiotic idea that I'm gonna propose to her on their family vacation when they go to Cabo. They go to Cabo once a year. So the day after Thanksgiving, I do what most guys in my financial status would do is I go to JCPenney and I get an engagement ring half off. So I got this ring and now we're getting ready to go to Cabo. And I start realizing that now I got this fucking ring with me and I gotta hide it. I don't wanna put it in my luggage. I don't wanna put it in my bag. I'm just paranoid. So I put it in my pocket and I have to speak to TSA and they let me go. And the whole trip there, I'm like carrying this like ring with me in the box, and it's in my pants, and I go scuba diving. I got it in my suit. We go, what is that shit where you go in the air on your...
Parasailing.
So then finally we're coming down to the end where the trip's almost over. I haven't asked this girl to get married yet. So I go up to her father, and I ask for permission. Now, understand, her dad is only 8 years older than me. So I go on this place called Lover's Island, and I say, hey, Greg, can I ask you a quick question? He goes, what? He goes, hold on. And he whips this thing out and pees, and then turns to me and says, yeah, what's the question you want to ask? And I'm like, fuck it, forget it.
Wow, Tom Alper, stay here. The time was perfect, 2 minutes and 1 second.
Are the cookies mine, guys? Is it over?
Kathy Lyman.
So the fact that he peed made you decide not to marry this woman.
Sounds like love.
Wow, yeah. That would have discouraged me as well.
Well, he said he whipped this thing out.
He whipped this thing out and started peeing in front of me and turned to me and said, yeah, what do you want to ask me? And I said, nothing. Yeah.
What was it about his penis persisted?
It was much bigger than mine.
Yeah, because I... trying to think what...
Well, he's 8 years older.
Yeah.
Does it work that way? I don't think it works that way.
Yes, it never stops growing.
It's like noses and ears. Penises.
Yeah, 55, so do the math.
Look out, folks.
Hello.
66 years.
He's sitting on it.
So, Henry, what'd you think of the story?
Hits the floor and rolls to the... it was a fantastic story, especially when he whipped that thing out. Obviously, that killed... That would kill it for me, too, brother. To be honest with you, that was a great story. Perfectly, you didn't marry her.
Unfortunately, I did.
He did.
The marriage lasted 14 months.
Okay, it's a great story.
I was going to break up with my girlfriend until I saw my father-in-law's cock, and I was like on my knees. I was like, not on my knees for her.
Logical image.
Tom Alper, you guys. Let's hear it, Tom Alper. All right, you guys, coming up right now for a true two-minute story is the very talented Jacqueline Marfucci. Woo! Tell us what to do, you guys.
Birthdays. We've all had them. I just had a birthday, guys, on Friday. Gemini. We're scary. I'll take drinks later. I like Patron and Cabernet. It was a really special birthday. I woke up at 4:30 a.m. because I was working on a TV show. And, you know, that's what you have to do. And it was miserable waking up that early, but whatever. I digress. My boyfriend rolled over. We turned the lights on, and he started caressing my face. And I was like, this is so romantic. And then he stopped, and he pulled out a huge black hair from my upper lip. Oh. Right. It was so special. At least it wasn't gray. I pulled those out of my head. I go to work, I go to set, and one of the girls walks up to me. We can call her Cocaine Barbie. Walks up to me. And she's like, oh my god, you know who you look like. And I was like, everyone tells me I look like Kelly Kapowski. She was like, no, you look like Kirstie Alley. And I was like, that's cool, from Cheers? Yeah, she's hot. And she was like, no, fat actress. I know. And I was like, who hurt you when you were a baby? It was terrible. And then... later on that day, it gets better. Taylor Swift fans tried to murder me. I talked about her on a podcast, and somehow they heard it, and I was right about what she's doing in her new music video. But all of a sudden, from an enemy, well, actually, a former friend, she texted me and was like, are you okay? And I was like, why? And she sent me all these Twitter comments. I hadn't checked my phone, of Swifties just being like, you need to step down, you need to calm down. And then Taylor Swift commented on it. Guys, wow. I got famous on my birthday for being an asshole. That's what I said.
Jacqueline Marfucci, look at the time, 2 minutes and 1 second. A perfect time, she tied in birthday, stay close. I thought it was a great story, Phil.
Yeah, well, you know, Jacqueline, you got to get a life. because a lot of that stuff, it's your birthday, right? Get the hell away from Twitter is what you need to do. And also see if you can't get a day off. Well, you can't get a day off from big TV jobs. Those are important.
I rapped yesterday.
Right. But they're good things. They're fun to have. There's nothing wrong with them. Your story was too much of a bummer for all that great shit to be happening to you. Nonetheless, I got to tell you, a lot of stuff happens to you on your birthday, which is better than what happens in my life, so I have to give you points for that. So that's, you know. Danny,
you fucking all right.
Danny.
I mean, a case could be made that Taylor Swift is making gay rights about herself. But that wasn't the case.
That's what I found.
I know. And by the way, this is what Jacqueline told me to say before the show when I got on.
I'll Venmo you later.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought it was a good story. It did. I'm with Phil a little bit that it, you know, woke up with a lot of tragedy. Not that having facial hair is, you know, I'm from Jersey. That was, yeah, I get a little nostalgic, not getting a little rash. Hanging out with my Italian girlfriends.
I grew up with a Super Mario Brothers mustache at like age 5.
It was the thing.
It was cool. I mean, it is what it is.
No, I your girlfriend you shaved before I did. Yeah, a good story. And look, time is a cruel mistress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow. That wasn't the thing, was it?
No.
That was absolutely glasses. By the way, excellent timing.
Yeah.
You ended perfectly.
Yes.
And I'm very sorry that so much tragedy occurred on your birthday, but you are the youngest right now that you will ever be for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So don't forget that. And one black hair is nothing. It's nothing. Believe me, you'll be just fine. Okay.
Happy birthday, Jacqueline McPherson. How are you? All right, you guys, two more people are coming up to tell a true two-minute story, and then we move on to the third round, and you know how exciting that is.
Oh,
it's awesome. You guys have to be ready to choose two storytellers, but right now, put your hands together for the one and only Larry Clark. Larry!
Woo!
All right, guys, tell him what to do.
One Black Hair is Nothing is my favorite Irma Bombeck book.
Oh, wow. Birthdays again.
Yeah.
You just don't. You can't do it. You got to do it.
Spin that wheel.
Again.
Too hard.
It's all right. We got time to banter. You know what I'm saying, Phil?
Oh, my God. It could be scandalized.
There goes audience. Vacation. School days. There it is.
School
days.
School days. Okay, I'm an actor.
Yay.
And you're always in scene study class, you're always taking these classes, it never ends. I was in my 30s, my career was really in the dumps. And my friends always said, you gotta take a class with a casting director. And maybe that'll get you some representation. So I did, and I didn't hit off with her right away. I could just tell right away, I didn't like anything that came out of her mouth. And I just went, oh my God, this is horrible. I disagree with everything. I'm just gonna stay really quiet over here in the corner. Then she gave me a scene to do, right? She gave me the scene, and I'll never forget it. It was like Hollywood Squares. Huh? It was some movie about Hollywood Squares, and I played the top square. So I did the scene, and I made a choice to make him gay. I was like, well, that's really good there, Ron. I made him really kind of campy and whatnot, and I got a lot of laughs out of the room. So I was like, I'm doing okay here in this class. I'm doing okay. And finally, she looks at me, and she goes, are you done? I go, yeah. She goes, don't ever do that again. What are you talking about? She goes, never make that choice. Why did you make him gay? And I was like, well, I don't know. It seemed like a little, like a bold choice, and he would like that. And she goes, no, I don't like that at all. If you had done that in my room, she goes, I would have not given you the part. And I felt this redness just raising up. I got so angry. And I thought to myself, I said, oh my God, I'm going to ruin my career here. I'm going to lose it on this woman. So I sat there and I bit my tongue and I went, well, I guess I wouldn't get the job then. We just stared at each other. And I got out of that class, the last one I ever took. And I had a great career after that. Everything was great.
Larry Clark. Again, 2 minutes and 1 second. Just a perfect time.
Total pro.
Stay here, Larry. Yeah, that was amazing. And right on topic, that was a great story. I love the way it built. You really are a great storyteller. But I really wanted you to ream that woman. I really wanted to hear what... Oh, my God. But that was a great story. And you should never tell somebody that that's a bad choice.
Yes,
you never tell an actor it's a bad choice.
Yeah, you said a yes and.
Yes.
Yeah.
And.
I paid $250 for that, too.
She no buddy.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry.
When the red mist came down, I got very interested. Anytime the anger thing starts,
yes.
It's the red mist. This is going to be good.
Yeah.
I think I agree that the acting coach, teacher, whatever the hell she was, was Roger, but you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if you tell a whole, you know, bunch of casting directors, you all suck and the Red Mist is coming down.
Yes.
And then Mass Murder takes place. Wow, that's a movie.
Yeah.
So he just wrote
well,
a movie. Or maybe I wrote it, but his inspiration.
I just
great stuff. I love it. Yeah.
Danny, did you ever sit in on casting during Modern Family?
I sit in all the time.
And how's that work
the
for
Red
you?
The Red Mist comes
it
down.
Is excruciating. Casting is an excruciating process. I
right.
do not know how actors deal with it. And for the most part, I'm not going to name names because I like our casting director, but he's a good guy. But they're frustrated, angry. They didn't have an acting career, and within the show themselves, there's a lot of exceptions who make this rule, who are not that, who I love, who I will always work with. But boy, I have fired 5 people in my entire career. And 3 of them have been casting people.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. Thank
God.
You.
This
yeah.
is upsetting.
Speaking for all actors.
Yeah.
Kathy, anything else?
Thank you.
I should tell you, at some point during this show, I have to say, this has nothing to do with Larry, but I was on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
And I should tell, so I'm familiar with spinning wheels.
Okay.
That's all. It has nothing to do with Larry.
Okay, now we know.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Now we know.
That was very brave.
Larry Clark, you guys. Larry Clark, let him hear it. That was great, Kathy. Wow. All right, you guys, go to the stage right now. For a true 2-minute story is June Shelton. June! All right, here she comes. Coming up with you, everybody.
Dead Cat Wheel.
Vacation, school days, what's it gonna be? School days.
All right.
She feels good about it.
I do, I feel good about it. So, my parents were nudists and alcoholics. My father passed away, and my mother was not going to be able to take great care of me. So I wanted to get out of there. I had been watching Facts of Life, and I thought, I want to go to boarding school. So there was a Sunset magazine, and I rifled through it, and I saw one in the back. And I took it down to my mom and woke her up, and she knocked over her bag of pretzels, and the salt went everywhere. And I said, I want to go to boarding school. So she sent me to boarding school, and she sent me to a Catholic school, and I said, hey, what are Catholics? And she told me to watch The Godfather, which really scared me. I was scared. But I went, and I loved it so much. And when I went to the school, I was very needy. I was so needy. I wanted a lot of friends. I wanted to hug the nuns all the time. And I was just clingy and super needy. And I was, you know, always trying to scheme about ways that I could get more friends, more love. I was really insatiable, and that hasn't changed. And so we used to have these showers, and they were stall showers, one after another, and there was a little, like a trough in the back of the shower where water would flow from each girl's shower. And you know, sometimes if you were out of shampoo, you'd say, hey, can I have some shampoo? And whoop, it'd go down the little trough, and you'd use the shampoo, and then you'd shoot it up. Well, once I'm taking a shower, and a poop goes down the lane. A poop travels down the lane. Held a big assembly, and they said the girl who did this needs our love and support. The girl who did this needs our sympathy and our friendship, and so I claimed it.
Jim Shelton, wow. That's
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrific story, right in 2 minutes.
Dude.
He's getting a standing ovation. He's not here.
I'm telling you, Danny
Zucker.
I'm not even going to make a joke here. How many of these have I gotten? Like,
about 18, 19.
18? That is one of the best stories.
Yeah. Finally, that had
everything. It had poop. I guess it just had poop. But it was still really good.
I thought it started with nudists and alcoholism and ended with a poop going down the trough. I mean, there's nothing more that you would want in the story.
Yeah, it's really everything you want.
Yes.
Phil Hendry.
Hey, listen, poop, you know, shitting in the shower, that's not Catholicism, that's God. That's a very important thing, a great distinction. And I was raised Catholic, and had I known the Godfather was the quintessential, I'd still be a Catholic. Fantastic, A+, good job.
Thank you.
Get out of here.
You're too
goddamn funny.
That was fantastic. Now, that was actually the end of our second round. That was the end of the second round. All five contestants have gone, and now it's your task, you guys, to come up with the two contestants that are going on to the third round to tell a true 3-minute story, put a minute on the clock.
So Judith Shelton and who?
Big round of applause for Rick in the back, yeah. Julie at the bar. Jim Coughlin right in front of me, always helping me out. Lindsay, she's the box office girl, she helps out. And listen, you guys, I gotta tell you, I have personally, I got a big show coming up. Big show for Christine Blackburn, and it is next Sunday night. It's my solo show. Surviving the ride, and here I am naked on a motorcycle.
Yeah!
So, if you would like to see me naked on a motorcycle, come on out of the show! Sunday, 6 p.m., June 30th. I've got plenty of flyers at the Lyric Criterion.
I got a picture of you naked on your motorcycle on my Twitter feed.
Thank you, Phil. I like it, man. What are you looking for?
Looking for the name.
Okay, great. Here we go. I'm going to show you the names. Here. Oh, that's the same name. Oh, here we go. Here's the other one.
Okay, cool.
Also, you guys, I want to tell you that we're going to be back celebrating our 2-year anniversary on July 27th. So it's a Saturday night, July 27th. I hope you guys are coming back to celebrate our 2-year anniversary. Danny Zucker, are you going to be here for the 2-year anniversary?
What is it?
July 27th.
22nd?
27th.
July 27th.
Sure, as far as you know.
Great. Now, last year, we had very special guest Larry King was on the show last year.
Oh,
You never know who's going to show up. You just never know. And on that stage, I'll be honest with you, last year, Danny and Larry King kissed.
True.
On the stage.
Larry kisses everybody.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen on Story Smash, you guys. All right, you guys, so I'm going to pull the first name coming out of the... Are they in here? Put those two in here.
Okay, vacation. Did I do vacation already?
Did you?
No.
Oh, God.
You didn't do vacation.
You did school days and you did something else.
Okay.
Birthday
and school days.
We have a girl up here keeping stats, which is nice.
Thanks, you're hot.
That's great.
Oh.
Thank you.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
Go! I went to, with my wife, soon-to-be wife, Fielding, went to Europe for the first time ever. I spent my life in restaurants and theaters, and I didn't travel, didn't have the money or the time. So I went to France and I went to Germany. Germany, I retraced my father's steps in war. Okay, he fought the Nazis, and he got dysentery. And so he was shitting himself fighting the Nazis, and that's how he literally got out of battle. He almost died from dysentery. Very strange story. Yeah. But I did. I went through the whole battlefield, and I took pictures and whatnot. And Fielding put up with it. She put up with it because she was my girlfriend. But I learned later that she was bored out of her brains. She didn't watch World War II movies growing up. You know, I was hanging out in Luxembourg, and I was literally reliving every World War II movie I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I was thrilled beyond belief. I was hearing the tanks rolling and the goose stepping of the Nazis. And so anyway, I was like a pig in shit. Anyway, the second part of the vacation was to the south of France. And I was like, fantastic. But, yeah. So the challenge was there was a lot of people nude on beaches in the south of France, and I'd never experienced that before. We were in a new relationship, so I started kind of testing the waters. I was like, I'd look at it, and I'd be like, look at that. That's, what do you think? She's like, she's got a great rack. And I'm like, yeah, she does. She does have a great rack. So I was like, you're safe. Like, she's totally going to be totally cool with this. You know, and so we kept doing that. It became like this game where we kind of like go, well, look at him. I can't believe he squeezed into that, you know. So we were doing okay until we came to this one little place, and it was a this amazing restaurant with a chocolatier place next door. It was like a Swiss Miss chocolatier thing, which I know would sound strange because it's in France. But we poked our head in, and there was this woman, and she looked like she was out of a Playboy, like Swiss Miss outfit. She was beautiful, stunning. And she was like, hello, will you come in here and try some chocolates? So I started researching, sampling chocolates, and it became really kind of horny. You know, I was like, I looked at my wife, and I could tell that she was, my girlfriend at the time, she was like getting into it too. And I was like, this is like my dream coming true here. And she was like putting her breasts in our faces, and we were drinking chocolate, hot chocolate. And I was like, this is amazing. So, and I literally thought something was going to happen. And when we got out of the store, I looked at her and she went, you were staring at her tits the whole time. Wait a second. And we had an argument that continued for the next 3 days. Aww. Until we got back on the plane. And it was a horrible end to that vacation. Aww. And it wasn't a house story.
Larry Clark, great story.
Amazing story. I find it a little bit disturbing that the positive half of the story was how excited you were at the sound. Imagine sound of goose-stepping Nazis. So that was the good part of the story. But then boobies were it should be exactly the opposite. You wanna, for me anyway. But good job.
I understand how that's exciting. If you watch a lot of World War II films, I understand how the goose stepping and the Nazi stuff is more exciting. But she really steered you wrong. She was saying nice rack, and then
bam, exactly.
She was not playing fair. Something for everyone.
She was totally into it.
This is like To Catch a Predator.
Yes.
That's what she was doing.
She was.
A really good movie if you want to film. No, I think that actually started out very cool, but got cooler, dude, because it started out with the Nazis and all that shit. And I know, my dad's a World War II veteran. God rest their souls, you know, and all that goose-stepping stories, I heard those, but then it gets better, dude, because then your wife is saying, which tits do you like? I'll go ahead with you on that, and you're looking for, who do I get to videotape this fucking set gameplay? It's a beautiful thing, man.
All right, Larry Clark.
Bravo.
Larry Clark. All right, you guys, we've got some bigger applause than that.
Yay!
We're 3 minutes, guys. 3 minutes. All right, you guys, coming up right now, part two, 3 minute story, our final contestant of the night. You know who it is, the one and only Jude Shelton.
Yay!
Amazing.
Wow.
Tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Oh boy, passing up audience, holidays, birthdays.
Birthdays. Yay! So, my birthday, I turn into a total a-hole. I am, again, so needy and I need so much love. And I would say I'm working on it, but I really stopped. I stopped working on it, and I know that that's my bad. I'm very needy, and I always am like, hey guys, I really want to celebrate for my birthday. I tell all my friends, and then every year, about 3 days before, I'm like, I don't want to celebrate my birthday because people did not respond the way I wanted. I have a problem, an emotional deficit, and so I always give up. Well, this year, I gave up, and none of my friends begged me to do something. Not one of them asked me to do something for my birthday. I was like harumphing around and feeling very, very sad. And so a friend of mine said, I waited. We're going to have a party at my house. And I'm like, oh, surprise party. I'm like, yes, my friends are finally ponying up. They're finally stepping up to the plate. I'm so embarrassed I'm saying all this because this is really a hideous trait. It's hideous. So I got all dressed up. I got my nails done. I got my hair done for this amazing surprise party that my friends were going to throw. And everybody was coming and everybody was talking about the food. And it was going to be so great and so grand. We go to the party,
and there's no balloons, there's no plates, there's a couple of snacks, but no, I can't see a cake, and we're like dancing to 80s music, and I'm like almost crying, waiting, and nothing is happening. So I sit down at one point and I think, well, you guys, I'm so embarrassed, but I'm like, maybe they'll see on my face. It's awful. I need help. I hope the prize is therapy. But I pout. I'm pouting. And the party people start leaving. And I'm like, huh? Well, maybe they're leaving and they're going to come back. And surprise, or maybe they left the presents in the car. No, they just kept taking off. And I just sat myself down and waited it out. And then my friend says, Jude, do you want to take home any sodas? She gave me a plastic bag full of Diet Cokes. And I got my shit together and went home. And I said, thank you! Happy birthday. Yes, thank you very
Jude
much.
Jude Shelton.
Jude Shelton.
Perfect time, 2:58. Perfect time, just under 3 minutes.
No, absolutely. And no, if I ran, no detectable padding at all.
No, padding.
I don't know.
His voice did not slow down.
It was so seamless. That was an amazing story. It's also an amazing way to get a room full of people to hug you.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe, given your personality, you are not more effective. Like, you don't have more success in filling that need.
I know.
Because I just want to just nurse you from my bosom.
Well,
take it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, put her on Modern Family. That'll work.
Oh!
I'm not sure she's up to that.
Happy.
Well, you know, your enthusiasm is just amazing. The way you just get so excited. You know, if it's been cystic acne, you would have been, oh, great! So I love you for your enthusiasm, and I'm sorry that, you know, your birthday didn't work out better, but you'll fill that void.
Yes.
You'll fill that void. You'll fill that hole somehow.
With snacks?
Yes. Phil Hendry.
More snacks. I think that the funniest, it's a very tragic story, but the best part of it was when you said that you were dancing and there was no cake, but you kept bringing the cake. And then dancing and waiting, there was no cake. And I thought that was brilliantly tragic yet sad, and there was no need beyond that to say anything more. And yet you kept talking.
Well, she was looking at the clock. The clock is right there.
Yeah, no.
So she gets, yes.
Good.
It's a game.
Good effort.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn good effort.
So Jude Shelton, Heather here. Jude Shelton. Oh, man. This has been a fantastic night of stories, am I right? I mean, give it up for everybody who's played. Jacqueline Marcucci, Peter Sprite, Larry Clark, our audience member, Tom Albert, Jude Shelton. Everybody's been so great. Now, you guys are going to have to choose the winner tonight. Put a minute on the clock. These guys are going to have a minute to choose the winner of Story Smash tonight. And remember, we're going to be back here on July 27th for our two-year anniversary. And you can find everything about Story Smash over on our website, StorySmashShow.com. StorySmashShow.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at Screwed Up Stories. What's it called? No. That's the other show. You can find us on Instagram at Story Smash, obviously. At Story Smash, you can see the amazing people who have played the game and the amazing things coming up. So you guys, check us out at Story Smash. And don't forget about my solo show. Would you please? I'm going to give you a flyer on your way out. You take this flyer and you say, hey, Christine, what are you going to talk about for an hour and a half? I don't know. But you'll see. I know what I'm doing. Okay, listen, you guys, tell us about why you chose the winner. Phil? Don't tell us who the winner is. Just tell us your thought process.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Sure thing, Christine. The way I see it, Trump. I think the whole thing with the interest rates. No, I feel my winner is the one who was constantly, I believe, the one who constantly had those marvelous images popping into their subconscious and spitting up into their conscious. The whole idea is to improvise, and the whole idea is to make sure those snapshots become words, those words become story. That's why.
All right, Kathy Ladner, tell us who the winner is.
Really?
Yeah, just tell us who the winner is.
Let's
do it.
Judith Shelton. Yes!
Judith Shelton!
Judith
Shelton! Danny Zucker, Kathy Ladner, Phil Henry.
Thank you, guys.